Consider, then, whether it is not the soul, having become most prudent and most just, that guides the heavens and the heavenly bodies by the melodies and motions proper to it. And it has become such through the ratios that constitute harmony, of which images exist reaching even into the incorporeal, in the visible and seen parts and bodies of the cosmos. The first and most sovereign power is visibly blended into the soul and renders it consonant and obedient to itself, with the best and most divine part always in harmony with all the rest. For the demiurge, taking over disorder and discord in the motions of the unharmonized and unintelligent soul as it was at variance with itself, marked off and separated some elements, and gathered and arranged others together, employing harmonies and numbers. By these same means, even the most inert bodies, stones, wood, the bark of plants, the bones of animals and rennets, when blended and fitted together, produce marvelous appearances in statues and marvelous powers in drugs and instruments. For this reason, Zeno of Citium used to urge the young men to go and observe flute players closely, to see what a sound is given off by horns and wood and reeds and bones when they partake of proportion and consonants. For the claim that all things resemble number, in accordance with the Pythagorean pronouncement, requires an argument. But that in all the things among which, out of difference and dissimilarity, some fellowship and concord with one another has come to be, the cause of this is measure and order, insofar as they partake of number and harmony. This has not escaped the poets, who call things that are dear and friendly articulate, and enemies and foes unfitted, on the ground that difference is a kind of disharmony. The poet who composed the funeral ode for Pindar wrote, "This man was fitted to strangers and dear to his townsmen, clearly regarding good fittingness as virtue, just as Pindar himself somewhere says that Cadmus heard the god display true music." And the ancient theologians, the oldest of philosophers, used to place musical instruments in the hands of the images of the gods, not supposing that the gods somehow play the lyre or the flute, but thinking that no work of the gods is so fitting as harmony and consonants. Just as then, a man who looks for the ratios of 4, 3, 3, 2, and 2, 1 in the yoke of the lyre or in its sound box or in its pegs is ridiculous. For while it is true that these parts, too, must be made proportionate to one another in length and thickness, that harmony itself is to be observed in the notes. So likewise, it is reasonable that the bodies of the stars, the intervals of their circles, and the speeds of their revolutions, like the parts of an instrument, stand to one another and to the whole in fixed ratios and due measure, even though the precise quantity escapes us. As for those ratios which the demiurge employed, and the numbers, we should consider their work to be the very melodiousness and harmony of the soul with itself, by which, having come to be present in the heavens, it has filled them with countless blessings, and has ordered the things around the earth, with seasons and changes possessing due measure, in the best and most beautiful way for both the generation and the preservation of the things that come to be.